One of the key issues that President Trump and Russian President Putin talked about at Monday's summit was nuclear proliferation. Putin said today that Trump's critics are hampering progress on limiting nuclear weapons. Joining us now is Ernest Moniz, the former U.S. Energy Secretary under President Obama, now Professor Emeritus at MIT. Secretary Moniz, welcome back.
Thank you.
So before we get to the nuclear issue, I just want to get your thoughts on what we've seen over the last few days with President Trump in Helsinki and all that's happened since then. What have you been thinking as you've been watching that?
Well, first of all, the performance in Helsinki was, of course, very unsettling, shall we say, at a minimum. In particular, the idea that the president would elevate Putin in reliability above our intelligence agencies was simply unconscionable. Now, of course, every day we have a different story, which does not really help, in my view, put anything to bed, because he certainly has seen all the intelligence that makes it very, very clear that that Russia and Putin directly gave the go-ahead to influence the election. Still, we are hoping, especially on the issue of nuclear weapons, nuclear proliferation, something can come out of this, namely a process that allows the staffs, the militaries, perhaps scientists on both sides, to elevate cooperation to address mutual threats.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, because President Trump said that he and President Putin did discuss nuclear proliferation. He calls it the most critical challenge facing humanity. Here is Putin speaking about that through an interpreter.
We believe it necessary to work together further on to interact on the disarmament agenda, military and technical cooperation. This includes the extension of the strategic offensive arms limitation treaty. It's the dangerous situation.
That's the START treaty that he's talking about there.
New START,
which limits the amount of nuclear weapons that each of these two countries, which control, 90% of the world's nuclear weapons, can have.
Right. And Jeremy, let me add that the New START treaty, it does put a cap on strategic weapons. But very importantly, it also provides transparency and confidence-building measures. And in fact, if we allow that treaty to lapse in 2021, it'd be the first time in a long, long time that we have that Russia and the United States, or Soviet Union and the United States, have not had such transparency measures.
Well, President Putin said in an interview after that news conference with Fox News, he said he reassured President Trump that Russia stands ready to extend the treaty, although he said that he thinks that the Americans may not be fully in compliant with the treaty to begin with. Do you think that the U.S. will extend that treaty and Russia will go along with it as well?
Well, first of all, we certainly should. And the issues that that President Putin is referring to is Russia has questions about whether certain conversions of delivery systems are or are not nuclear capable. And by the way, there are issues as well on what's called the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty, in which both sides accuse the other of noncompliance. In reality, these are exactly the kinds of questions where what we need to do is have very professional military-to-military collaborations, inspections, et cetera, to clear the air. And if one side is in fact not in compliance, and frankly we are very sure that Russia is not in compliance with the Intermediate Forces Treaty, then we find solutions to that.
So if this issue is so important, and President Trump clearly believes that it is, what do you think of the argument that he's been making, which is that it's good to have a good relationship with Russia, even if it means not going after them as much on things like election interference?
Well, I wouldn't use the term good relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't see how we can have a good relationship in a certain sense across the board without resolving Ukraine, Crimea, Syria, election meddling, and the like. But we need a professional relationship in pursuing our mutual aims in terms of risks, and nuclear is number one in that context. You said it yourself. These two countries, Russia and the United States, we have more than 90% of the nuclear weapons, and we feel that the potential for a blunder, basically, is higher now than it's been in a very long time. I would say the Cuban Missile Crisis. I want to emphasize, this is not like a reward to Russia, as it is often portrayed. This is a hard-nosed discussion based upon mutual interest and preventing what is really the only existential threat that the United States and Russia have is nuclear weapons used by the other side.
Okay, well, let's talk about two other nuclear issues while you're here, one being North Korea. What do you think is going to happen there? President Trump seems to believe that the North Koreans are going to denuclearize, but there are big questions already about that.
Right. So I think the administration has not yet laid out what its real objectives are other than this simple word denuclearization, mm-hmm. which, by the way, and that word itself is somewhat ambiguous.
Could mean just reducing as opposed to eliminating altogether.
It could mean reducing. It could, does it mean eliminating civilian nuclear power, for example? Mm-hmm. This administration keeps saying they want all nuclear weapons and materials and facilities removed within 20 months. I just don't think that's reasonable. So we need a rational strategy. We also need to have a much more active dialogue with other parties, South Korea obviously, but China, Japan, Russia, than at least we see evidence of publicly. There is no security solution to the Korean Peninsula without having all of those parties engaged. So this is a hard negotiation. As you know, I was involved in the Iran negotiation.
Right.
North Korea is certainly not simpler than the Iran situation.
Iran.
So I think this is really tough, hard diplomacy based upon a realistic roadmap that we need to pursue.
Well, so that brings us to the Iran nuclear deal, which President Trump is pulling the U.S. out of. You, as you said, helped negotiate that deal. Do you think that Iran is now going to get a nuclear weapon?
First of all, I do want to emphasize the deal is still in place in the sense that the Europeans, Russia,
board,
China,
the U.S.
and Iran, yeah,
right.
The United States is in violation of the agreement, mm-hmm. Bluntly. And what's especially important, and it goes to your question, is that the heart of the Iran agreement are the most stringent, unique verification measures that any country operates under. That is what ultimately is the grounding of continued confidence that Iran has not resumed nuclear weapons activity. So that's the key. Will that verification regime be preserved or not?
Do you think what happened in Iran and the U.S. pulling out of that deal had any impact on what happened with North Korea saying that it was going to denuclearize?
No. I do think, however, that the Iran deal, whether the United States is in it or not, frankly, has set a standard on verification measures. And that will be a very difficult, hard road to follow with North Korea, given the closed society, et cetera, number one. Number two, given the fact that unlike Iran, North Korea does have nuclear weapons, and as is well known, we really don't know how many they have. So how are we going to be assured that even if there's an agreement going forward, that they have in fact declared all of their nuclear weapons? At some point, we're going to need a very intrusive verification regime that will not be easily achieved. Iran sets the standard today.
One more thing. What do you think when you hear President Trump say that the deal that you worked out is the worst deal ever done?
It's a statement without substance whatsoever. I think what you might interpret this to mean is that the complaints are far less with what the deal is. Frankly, I see none of real substance. It's about what the deal is not.
Right. It doesn't limit Iran doing other things.
It doesn't address Hezbollah. It doesn't address Yemen and Syria and the like. And, of course, we took the same – President Obama took the same approach, as I would argue, President Reagan took in the 80s. We had all kinds of problems with the Soviet Union, proxy wars all over the place. And yet that did not prevent – a focus on the existential threat of nuclear weapons and symmetry there. So here, again, it was the same thing, that focus on the existential issue and, of course, keep addressing the other issues.
That's Ernest Moniz, who is the former U.S. Energy Secretary, now co-chair of the Nuclear Threat Initiative. Secretary Moniz, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.